All right. Well, good morning. We're excited to have a Mission Sunday this morning. Excited to have Ian and Marcy here. I think as we were singing Christmas songs, and I thought how fitting it is to have a Mission Sunday this time of the year. I think it's really neat. He is the reason. And as each one of us just puts our lives on the altar before the Lord, and whatever that looks like, I was excited to hear talking to James this week and hearing about the need with Life Club and how that was met. And God works in so many diverse ways and in so many different areas. And as we say yes to Him, surrender ourselves and say yes to Him. And today we're going to hear what D&I is doing with foreign missions, but missions is right here as well. And, you know, as we just learn what it means to surrender, learn what it means to lay down, and then God can speak to us, God can use us, it can be going to our neighbor, it can be being very intentional with our businesses and saying, God, I want to honor you with the business you've given me. I want to honor you with my life, with my income, with my increase. And as the case with Daniel and Amber, you know, just being open, and when the Lord speaks, we say yes, and that can look like going to Greece. And we're excited for them and thrilled for what is happening there. It can also look like God touching your heart and saying, you know what, there's a lady in Lancaster that needs to know what it means to have the church reach out and care. And so I'm excited to hear what the Lord has and to see what is happening through D&I. Some verses came to mind as we were singing. I had to think of Mary, when the angel visited Mary before the baby was born, and she was telling her all these things that was going to happen, and Mary was astonished. And in Luke 1, verse 37, the angel says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And then verse 38, and Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I pray that that could be our testimony. We don't have to all go. God works, and it's something I'm trying to learn in life. There's opportunities, and God brings things as we're open to the Spirit, and that looks different in many, many ways. The important part is being an open vessel, walking by the Spirit, and as the Spirit moves, we're there, we're ready, we're prepared, and no matter what that looks like, God can work through us. So, Ian, if you'll come up, we'll just have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. We're excited to see what the Lord is doing in other lands, as we would say. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I just thank you for Ian. Thank you for the work he is doing there with D&I and investment he's making. And I just pray that your hand would be upon the service this morning. I pray that our hearts would be open and that we would be open to ways that we can partner with you, whether it's here or whether it's abroad. Thank you for the work you're doing. Thank you for Jesus. And this time of year, as we think of the Christ child coming to earth, and that we can all be part of your plan. And thank you for using vessels like us who are so weak and so broken, and yet you fill us with your power. And so I pray your hand upon the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning to everyone. It's good to be here with you all. My wife and I have never been here before at Life Fellowship, but we're excited to be here with you all. And we weren't planning to be here this morning until earlier this week. Alan Ross sent me a message and said, "I don't think I'm going to be able to get to Life Fellowship this weekend. Could you go in my place?" And being asked by Alan Roth to go and speak in his place can make you feel pretty weak, I think. And you know, those of you who know Alan, who has been traveling the globe speaking in many different contexts and promoting God's work and preaching and impacting people's lives, he has many years of experience, and I'm just learning, so bear with me. Another thing that makes me feel weak is just on Thursday, I had a double hernia operation. So if you see me kind of hobbling around, looking like an old man, it's not because I'm trying to act like Alan, but because I do feel like an old man right now. Those of you who don't know, Alan Roth was in an accident about a month ago. He was walking on his way to church, going across a crosswalk at a stop sign, and a car must not have seen him and ran right into him, which sent him flying. He landed on his heel, which fractured his ankle. So Alan is laid up in his house without being able to go anywhere or do anything, which is hard for Alan, for those of you who know him. So resting for two to three months, not putting weight on that ankle, is going to be really hard for him. So you can pray for him that God's grace will be there for him. But all of this makes me think of how God works through weak people, right? We were just singing about the babe Jesus, how Jesus came to the world in the weakest form possible, as a little baby in a manger, unknown to anyone except perhaps his mother, his father. And he entered the world as a weak human being because he was paving the way for us as his followers to follow after him as weak people. He is not out there looking for these strong, effective, powerful people. He is looking for weak people who are willing to be used by him. And this isn't an exact quote, but there is a quote somewhat like this, that the question is, why does God use weak people like Paul, like Peter, like other people in the Bible that we see were so weak? And the answer is, because there are only two kinds of people in this world, the weak people who are willing to be used and the weak people who aren't. The question then is, who are we? Are we the weak people who are willing to be used or the weak people who aren't? I'd like us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, thinking about serving the Lord in weakness, being open and willing to follow him in weakness. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. This is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. His 11 disciples are with him, and he is giving them He is sharing the climax of his ministry. This isn't an afterthought, like, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you this while you were with me for these past 3 years. But no, this is the climax of my ministry, and this is what I'm sending you out to do. He says, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So here is Jesus commissioning his 11 closest friends to go out into the world and make disciples. They were disciples of Christ, and now he's sending them out to make more disciples. I don't know what they were thinking at that moment, but if they're at all like me, I'm sure they were probably thinking, this is a huge task. Into all the world, we're just these fishermen here in the middle of Galilee, in the small country of Israel, under the powerful rule of Rome. What are we going to be able to do in this world? But Jesus did not just commission them to carry out the work. He empowered them and he promised them. First of all, it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So before giving them the commission, he reminds them, yes, I was a weak babe. Yes, I came in the weakest form possible. But now I have followed through with my Father's plan. I have died on the cross. I have conquered death. I have risen from the dead. And now I have all power. All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, okay, go ye therefore. Why? Because I've been given all that power. Now you can go out into all the world. You can teach them. You can baptize them. You can teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Why? Because I'm sending you out in power. It's not you who is doing it. It's me working through you. And so that's why God uses weak people. That's why weak people like us can go out confidently, because we have been empowered by the King of the world, by the one who has conquered death, and therefore we can go out. But he didn't just send us out. He says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So he's there beside us. He's not behind us sending us out. He's beside us. He's before us. He is the one carrying out his Father's plan, and he's invited us to go alongside him. Isn't that exciting? He has already won the fight. He has already conquered death, and now he's inviting us to go out on this great, amazing mission, which is to proclaim to the world that he is the Lord, that he is worthy of praise, and that Satan has no power any longer. Isn't that an exciting mission? So today I'm sharing about what DNI is doing. It's just like a drop in the bucket in what God is doing around the world. I'm sharing this because there are opportunities for you to be involved in DNI, but I'm not sharing it to say, this is the mission. If you're not a part, you're not a part of God's mission. I'm just sharing what God's doing because it's exciting what God is doing and inviting you to consider the ways you might be involved. So let's travel around the globe and see what God is doing through DNI. We're going to stop in 10 different locations. First of all, we're going to jump over to Asia. But before we do that, let's look at DNI's mission statement. Our mission statement is Christ's last command, which we were just looking at, our first priority, church planting among unreached people groups. And the reason we prioritize unreached people groups is because those people groups who have never heard the gospel are the ones who need to hear the gospel most. And perhaps these are the people groups that have not been reached because they're some of the hardest to reach. They're hidden away in the mountains of Asia. They're hidden away in the large cities and the urban centers of our world. They're tucked away even within our North American cities where they're hidden in broad daylight. But these people groups are hard to reach, and that's why they've not heard the gospel yet. But we prioritize unreached people groups because it was Christ's last command and our first priority. Well, first of all, in Asia, these are the DNI workers over in Asia. We're going to stop at each of these locations. South Asia, which is Bangladesh. Southeast Asia, which is Myanmar. Then Mongolia and Cambodia. Well, first of all, Cambodia. The team in Cambodia was formed about 5 years ago when Dewey and Stacy Yoder came to the DNI board and said, we have a heart for Cambodia. How can we take the gospel to Cambodia? And so DNI said, we'll pray with you. We'll look for workers to go with you because DNI doesn't send out individuals. We send out teams. And so through prayer, through recruitment, a team was raised up. They were sent over to Phnom Penh, the capital city, study the Khmer language. And now they've opened a center for underprivileged and also at-risk children and teenagers in a red light district in Phnom Penh. There's a lot of child trafficking and sex trade that goes on in this part of the city. And so they're focusing on equipping the young people with skills so that it's less likely that they'll fall into the child trafficking industry and be taken advantage of in that way. And the Redeeming Rain Center brings light and hope to the dark community of this part of Phnom Penh. Here is a picture of a classroom. Krista Roth is teaching something. I think she's teaching English in this picture. But they also teach, they teach different classes, crafts and English and Bible classes. And they're looking for a director for their center to lead out in this work. So if God lays it on your heart, or if you know of someone who might be interested, someone who may have experience in teaching or in directing, we'd love to talk with you. South Asia, Bangladesh. Now, if you think I'm rushing, it's just because there's so much to cover. I don't want to spend too much time. If you have a question, feel free to just raise your hand and we'll stop right there. So South Asia, Bangladesh. How is the team in Bangladesh engaging the people? They're located in Dhaka, the capital city of Bangladesh, which is one of the world's most densely populated areas. Bangladesh is considered the world's most densely populated country. It's half of the United States' population, crammed into the size of maybe about the state of Iowa or something like that. So very congested, plenty of people, and many opportunities. Ellis Miller and his family have lived there for going on 12 years, I believe, and he runs a software development company. So he's using his business as a way to be in the country to provide work for 12 Bengali programmers and at the same time build relationships and share the gospel with the people. Jeff Myers, there in the center, he recently left for Bangladesh in July, and he's studying the language of Bangla. And so I really appreciated one of his recent updates where he shared a story of how he was out in a village. He got out of the city and went to a little village, and he had his Bangla Bible with him, and he started just reading Bangla scriptures, and people come and listen, and perhaps scripture had never been read to these people before. And he was just excited to see some of these older people just really soaking in every last word, and just thinking that perhaps he had the privilege to read a passage of scripture for the first time to these people. Wouldn't that be a privilege to be able to share the gospel for the first time with someone? Now, statistics say that it takes at least around 7 times hearing the gospel. That's the average, that someone hears the gospel before they take that step of surrendering to Christ. But can you imagine one of those seven people along the way having that privilege to share? You may have had that privilege this past week to be one of those 7 people. Here, where we're at, we may have that privilege to share with someone. We might be one of those 7 in their journey. But Jeff was sharing how he had this privilege of perhaps being the first person. That's an extreme privilege. So here in Bangladesh, there's something exciting and at the same time heartbreaking going on. Myanmar, there's a people group called the Rohingya people group. Some of you may have heard about them in the news. And it was really interesting. A DNI team was raised up to go to Myanmar to reach out to the Rohingyas. But as they're over there learning the language, all of a sudden, there's this huge refugee crisis, people fleeing Myanmar because of gross human rights violations going on in Myanmar. And perhaps 500,000 to 1 million Rohingyas fled Myanmar over to Bangladesh. And now they're all in one location, refugee camps across Bangladesh, where they're more accessible than they were over in Myanmar. And you're able to interact with them more freely than you would have in Myanmar. And so part of the DNI team followed them over to Bangladesh. And now they're working with them in some of the refugee camps there in Bangladesh. So there's sort of this problem. Part of the DNI team that went to Myanmar felt a calling to stay in Myanmar. The other part felt the call to follow the Rohingyas because these were the people they were wanting to reach out to. So they split, and now they were looking for more workers to join the team in Myanmar, and there's a small team over in Bangladesh, and we could use more workers on both of those teams, reaching out to what's called the world's most hated people group. So heading north in Asia up to the capital city, the world's capital city that has the world's coldest average annual temperature. 29 degrees Fahrenheit is their average annual temperature in Ulaanbaatar, the capital city of Mongolia. Now, the DNI team does not live in Ulaanbaatar. They live about 5 hours out of the city in a town where they have a community center, and they just recently were able to purchase and renovate a community center that they're using for Bible clubs, for sports development. They have a hockey team. Right now there's a hockey team from, I believe it's a hockey team from up north in Canada that went over to play hockey with teams over in Mongolia. And they think that they may have some of the same, they may come from some of the same background, the same people groups, if you go far enough back, up from Canada, going over to Mongolia. And the exciting thing is they're using hockey, they're using sports as a way to share the gospel. So far we've talked about a community center for sharing the gospel, a business for sharing the gospel, refugee crisis for sharing the gospel, hockey for sharing the gospel. There's not one cookie cutter way, right? And I'm sure here in your congregation, there's many different ways that you are using to engage people and share the gospel. And that's the exciting thing. When we go out in the power of Christ, our life is ministry. It's not just a form of ministry, but our life is ministry. So let's jump over to the Mediterranean, over to Spain. The Spain team is working with refugees coming up from North Africa. So they have a similar situation that we do with Mexico, with Africa. So North Africans are leaving their country where they don't have a good financial setup, where they don't have job opportunities, and they're immigrating to Spain. Many of them are undocumented, and so the Spain team is located in Almería, which is on the far southern point of Spain, where they're able to engage with a large immigrant community from North Africa. We also have a family living in North Africa, just not too far south of Spain, and they're working with some of the same people, but in North Africa. And the exciting thing is they can communicate with the Spain team. People might go back to their home country where they came from, and so there's connections on both ends. So in Spain, they have a tea shop / thrift store / bookstore. And so this is an opportunity for people to come, to drink coffee, to look for cheap clothes, to read books, and at the same time, they're hearing scripture playing in the background. And they call it the punto de encuentro, which is a point of encounter or the meeting place. And some one man told Dan Tice, who is the director of the center, he's like, this shouldn't be called the point of encounter. It should be called the place of peace, because I feel peace when I'm in here. And that's an amazing thing, a power of scripture, of the presence of the Holy Spirit working in their hearts. Okay. So here's a little picture of their tea shop. See a little divider over there. And that's so that the women can have privacy from the prying eyes of maybe some of the older men of their community that are like, are you just making sure they're not getting too interested in things. So it provides that dividing privacy for the men and the women. And those seekers might have a little bit more opportunity. So Africa, I mentioned we have a family in Africa, in North Africa. And we don't say the name of the country because of how sensitive it is, the location where they're at. But I read in one of the recent updates, just to give you a little glimpse of the spiritual warfare that goes on there. They were recently at a Muslim wedding, and as people were leaving, all of a sudden people started screaming and jumping up and down and falling over and writhing and rolling around on the ground. And here there was an outbreak of demonic possession, because they claimed someone had sprinkled cursed water around their wedding. So I don't know exactly what was happening, but there was an outbreak of spiritual darkness and demonic possession. And that's just a little glimpse of what Satan is doing in this part of the world. So now coming back home over to North America, we've jumped around from Cambodia to Bangladesh to Myanmar to Mongolia to Spain to Africa, and now coming back to North America. And D&I says we go to the unreached people groups of the world, but what happens if they're right around us? And so our goal is to engage and share the gospel with the unreached people groups who have come to us. And it's amazing how more and more unreached people groups are coming to us. And just one example, in Queens, New York, Queens is considered perhaps the world's most diverse community in the entire world. And this is where the Mission Training Center is, where Sam and Kathy go up and share twice a year. And there's over 120 languages spoken within a one-mile radius of that location. That just shows you how many people groups are within a few hours of a driving distance. Are we going to engage them? So first of all, Toronto. Toronto is another one of the world's most diverse cities, many different people groups, and Daniel could tell you a lot more about this place in the world. I'm not qualified to share about that, but it's exciting. They have a restaurant called Tea in Bannock, and this was a brainstorm that God gave Daniel's parents, Enos and Carolyn, and it's a restaurant that serves ethnic food for the North American people group. And so this has now become a church meeting place at the same time on Sundays. The people come during the week, get their fill of good North American food, and then on Sundays, they have a church service. The Mission Training Center, some of you may have seen updates about the new building. The building project continues to progress, and they're hoping to have this finished by spring LTO, or spring training, which is the beginning of April. So you can continue to pray that God will allow the permits to get pulled and get all the building projects completed at this training center. This building, which doesn't look very impressive in this picture, if you see the white door, not the far left one, but 9328, that's where the building starts, and it goes all the way over to the end of those rolling metal doors. That building is three stories high, and it costs $1.55 million. And some of you might be like, why don't you just come to Lancaster and buy a building here? You could get something a lot more impressive than that. But the goal is to be in a location where the trainees can get training, can get practical teachings on missions, and then go out the same day and put it into practice with many unreached peoples right around them. So the Mission Training Center offers various opportunities, especially for youth groups, for high school groups. You can go up on a WOW trip. It's called World Outreach Weekend, and you have the opportunity to go and sing in the subway stations, set up a Bible display table, give out tracts, and hear a few classes on cross-cultural interaction and working in another culture. So if this is something your youth group would be interested in, I'm sure the Mission Training Center would be excited to host your youth group some year. You have to get on their waiting list because they have lots of groups wanting to go through there in the summer, but it's a great opportunity. Also have long-term orientation. We have lots of acronyms: WOW, World Outreach Weekend, LTO, long-term orientation. Long-term orientation is 6 weeks of training where you learn anything from cross-cultural interaction to team, working as a team, learning another language, counseling the heart, working with Buddhists, with Hindus, with Muslims, with Jews, with Catholics. There's different training tracks you can take depending on the interest or the calling that God has put on your life. You don't have to have any destination in mind. You can just go as a student and get more preparation if you feel God is calling you into cross-cultural ministry. So in New York, we also have a team working with the Turks or the Asia Minor people, and right now they're working on getting a coffee shop open. And in the back, I have a brochure. It has a full business plan of what they're looking to do. They have matching funds available, and they're looking to raise, I don't remember how much it is, maybe $100,000 or $200,000 to open a coffee shop. They'll serve Turkish tea, coffee, specialty drinks, and also have a Bible or a bookstore and a library. So people can come, drink their ethnic tea. They'll hire perhaps a few Turks, and it'll also be a place where Brent, some of the other people from the team, can take people out. Let's go out for coffee. Let's go out for tea and talk about spiritual things. So we're excited about this opportunity to engage the Turkish people in New York City. The Jewish people, New York City has the world's largest Jewish population outside of Israel, and there's approximately 2 million Jews within the larger metro area of New York City. So many, many Jews. There's lots of secular Jews who you won't recognize as an actual Jew by the way they're dressed. In fact, there's a secular Jewish rabbi who has started coming to a church plant, to the Life in Christ Church in New York City. He's atheistic, but he's a rabbi. And I was asking him, how does that work? And he explained it in this way. Is like, well, I am culturally a Jew, but my belief system is atheistic. So I still can't wrap my mind around how that works. But there's a lot of atheistic Jews in New York, but then there's the ultra-Orthodox Jews, and those are perhaps the hardest people, perhaps in the world. I don't know if that as a fact, but one of the hardest people groups to engage in the world because they will intentionally not talk to anyone outside of their group about religion. If you try to talk with them, the first thing that they're thinking of is, Are these missionaries? We don't want to hear anything about Christianity. We don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And they'll intentionally not engage you. The Muslims, they'll debate with you. They'll argue with you. They'll try to prove their points. But the Jews, they will not talk with you. Perhaps you'll find some that will be open to talk with you. But if they're in their community, they're afraid who's watching, what are others thinking, and they will not engage you. So let's pray for the team working there. They've been talking about how can we engage the Jewish people. Maybe we can start tours to Lancaster because the Jews are fascinated with the Amish. And maybe we could do Amish tours down to Lancaster and this would be a way to engage them. Or just talking about different ways that they could engage the Jews. So Mexico, you have a member down there in Mexico. We really appreciate Jeremy and what he's doing down there with the boys. He's coming home in about 6-7 months, and we're going to miss him. But down in Mexico, we have a church plant and an orphanage. This is a special place to my heart because this is where I grew up from age 11 to 22. We moved down to Mexico, and it became almost like home to me. And I still consider that somewhat like where I'm from. When people ask me, where are you from? Like, well, I live here. I lived there. Originally lived in Mexico. Before that, in Plain City. So if you know an MK when he has to tell you a story to tell you, answer the question, where are you from? So down in Mexico, we have a church plant, and it's now two plants, one in a village, one in this town of Choix, and then an orphanage caring for about 25 children. We have two groups of guys, two groups of girls. Each group cares for between 5 and 7 children, and that's what Jeremy does right now. Here's a picture of their church. A little different than the setup here, but it's a aluminum roof with brick walls, and it's exciting how people get excited about worshiping God in their setting. Here's a picture, a little outdated, but a picture of the whole orphanage, the children, and the caregivers. So Greece, this may be the reason we were invited to come and share. Daniel and Amber are feeling God calling them to Greece. Eric, it all started with Eric and Kate Kleinsasser, who started a relationship and eventually got married over at the refugee camp in Moria, Camp Moria over in Greece. Just over the last 3 years, Muslims have been fleeing from the Middle East, from Africa, from Asia, from all over the world to escape radical Islam. And some of them are coming with wide open hearts to hear the gospel. They're like, we don't know what it is that you have, but we want it because we don't want anything to do with Islam if this is what it looks like. So they come asking for Bibles, asking for Bible studies. Various Muslims have come to the Lord, been baptized, and perhaps as we speak across the world, there's a larger revival amongst Muslims than ever before, as Muslims are seeing firsthand the violence when Islam is carried out to its end. And so we have an opportunity, an open window. We don't know how long this is, but refugees are fleeing into Europe. They come through Greece and keep heading north up into Germany, Switzerland, and beyond. And so the vision is to see eventually a network of church plants across Europe, starting in Greece, engaging these refugees as they leave the camp and come up into Europe. And some of them may have already given their hearts to the Lord. Some may be seeking still, and networking with them and forming networks of believing Christians across Europe. So I'm sure Daniel and Amber can share more with you about this vision, but we are very excited to see this window of opportunity that has opened up. Dee and I would have never expected to be going into Europe to take the gospel to the unreached people groups, but we are. So a few ways that you can get involved. So we've looked at different places around the world where DNI is at. And Carita, I'm sorry, I skipped over Los Angeles. Los Angeles is a place where DNI has been involved over the last 10 to 12 years. But as of this month, Los Angeles is moving out from under DNI and becoming a church affiliated with the BMA Alliance. And so Los Angeles has, you might say, grown up from a church plant to its own church with the vision to plant more churches across the city of Los Angeles. So this is exciting for DNI, but it's also bittersweet. We'll be sad not to have the Los Angeles team with us anymore. But what are some ways that you can get involved with DNI? So the first is prayer. We have an intercessor's bulletin, which we send out every month. And this is an opportunity for you to pray for the workers on the field. And another way is supporting, and might be supporting your own workers from here, supporting them through prayer, through your support teams, which it's exciting for me to see how you're caring for your workers, supporting them emotionally, supporting them financially, and supporting them through member care, visiting them when they're over in their place of service. And you might wonder, how does this work with DNI and the home church? And so DNI does not want to come and steal your people and send them to where we want to send them, but we want to partner with churches as an agency to network people from different churches and send them, but partner with you as a sending church, enable you as a sending church to provide for them well. And so that's where we're at as an organization. We're not here to steal your workers, but to partner with you and to dialogue with you. How can we better serve you as a church in sending your workers? And then lastly, go. So as we read in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus calls us to go. That might be right here, going out to our neighbors. That might be going out beyond to our neighboring towns, neighboring cities, or it might be going across the globe. There are many different opportunities to serve within D&I. I mentioned a few of them. We have a table in the back where you can see the different opportunities to serve within D&I around the world. Perhaps you have a vision for a country that was not listed up here, and D&I looks to partner with visionary with people who have a vision for a location, and we'd be glad to pray with you about opening a new location, putting together a team, and sending you to where God is calling you. So just to close with a word from the Word again, going back to Matthew chapter 28, we see Jesus sent his disciples out. But what happened after that? Let's turn the page to Acts chapter 1. Sorry, not turn the page. Jump across a few books to Acts chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8. And he, Jesus, said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." The book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles, but I think it would be more appropriate to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. We see how the Holy Spirit moved throughout the whole book of Acts, empowering his people and working through weak people and bringing people to the gospel by the thousands. And he did it in many different ways. He did it through persecution. Persecution forced the church to spread from Jerusalem across Judea. He used people like Paul, who was a persecutor of the church, who was radically transformed, and who went out preaching and planting churches amongst the Gentiles. He used Peter, who was a firebrand, who was the one who would speak his mind, who didn't care what others thought. But then he was filled with the Spirit. Instead of denying Christ, he went to the cross eventually and died for his Lord. And we see stories of how God used people like us to take the gospel to those who needed it, but it's through much suffering. We see how Paul suffered. He was taken up for dead at least once. He was imprisoned. We see how Peter, James, and John were beaten. We see how Paul and Barnabas were thrown into prison. And at the same time, they're glorifying God. They're praising God. And the word of God will go out around the world, but through suffering, through hardship, through persecution. And the question is, are we as the church willing to sacrifice our comforts to see the gospel taken across the globe? I'll leave that with you as a challenge. Do you want to embrace a vision bigger than yourself, bigger than the world itself, to see the gospel taken to the unreached people groups of the world and to see Christ glorified for who he is, the Savior of the world? Thanks for this opportunity to share with you. We'll be there in the back at the table. Be happy to answer more of your questions if you have any questions. I want to bless you as a church as you represent Christ here in your community.